Luke chapter 11. Everybody find chapter 11 of Luke. Everybody find chapter 11 of Luke. And let's go to verse 14. We're going to start another subject this morning. If I finish it this morning, good. I will definitely finish it by next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Luke 11:14. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." And others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. Boy, what better sign would that be? They missed it. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falls." Notice he went from kingdom to a personal dwelling unit. "If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.' And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges." Jesus is pointing out a double standard to those accusing him. If your sons did it, and it was God, then it too must be of God that I'm doing. He goes on to say, "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are at peace." This verse says that when a man has the weapons that are necessary for protection, he's at peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted, and divides his spoils. "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Isn't that interesting? "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order." Interesting, isn't it? He finds it swept and put in order. Then the next verse is going to be a great mystery. "Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." Notice, if you have a hard time with numbers, there's eight spirits altogether working here. "And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you.'" Right away, a demonic voice came into being, and it's a voice of religion. But Jesus said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Notice the key is to be well armed. Because those who hear the word of God, notice this, and keep it. And keep it. Now, today, I want to start talking to you about Satan's war machine. Satan's war machine. Well, what kind of machine is that? Well, Satan's war machine come in the form of principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in the heavenlies. That is Satan's war machine. Now notice what Jesus said here. He said, when a man literally is free, he says this man is in a position to be able to guard his own palace. And notice, he goes on to say, but when a stronger than him comes, he says, he will take from him all his armor. Isn't that interesting? He'll take his weaponry. He'll take from him the very thing that he can watch over his own dwelling with to keep it peace. I forgot who I was asking. Oh, I remember who it was. I was asking somebody about a certain individual I hadn't seen nor heard of for years that used to attend our church. Was that you, Jerry? You said that when you had seen him, and Jerry made the statement, why don't you get back in church? And he says, oh, I'm too far gone for that. Remember when you were sharing that with me? My heart just sank. Because he was a house that one time was swept clean and garnished. You know what garnishment means? Something that is added to something. When you go to a restaurant and you order a meal, the first thing you do is they garnish it with things. You know, they don't just give you the steak, but they garnish it with other things. Unless you ask just for a steak, that's the way I would be. I don't care for the garnishments. Notice he says that there was an unclean spirit. When it has gone out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. Well, dry places would be a place where probably there's not much life. Probably not even people. So he makes this decision to go back to find out the house that he was removed to and what state it's in. And he sees this guy that had been swept and cleaned up and garnished. And he says, I can enter back into that man. And once I enter him, do you know that this man only had one spirit operating against him? And so this guy says, not only will I enter back in to his life, he says, I'm going to call seven other spirits to join me. And so the first thing he had to do is he had to remove the guy's armor and then call in seven spirits to seal the deal. Now, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but you know there are major mass numbers of Christians that will not attend church. They have been hurt. They have been offended. And they won't darken the doors of a church ever again. Now, if you will, step over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We've been here Wednesday nights, and we've been covering the subject of the origin of the carnal mind, where it originated and where it came from. And notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, did I say 9? 10, okay. Notice he says here, For the weapons of the warfare of us are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, by casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Now we're going to talk about Satan's war machine. And I'm going to tell you where he begins. Notice this word, every thought here. It is the Greek word noema, which literally means a pattern that forms in the mind, which leaves the details to be worked out to bring something into being, an intention to get possession. An intention to get possession. So Satan travels on this kind of mind. So literally he's saying that his thinking is thought out through a design that he crafted for the purpose of it. Now, notice he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds or these fortresses, which literally we built with the help of Satan to protect us, but it is not our protection. It's our demise. That's why he goes on and says here that every one of these thoughts have to be captivated. So I'm going to tell you something right now. Knowledge and its proper use, are you ready? Knowledge and its proper use wins battles. Knowledge and its proper use is what wins battles. How a person thinks. Now, failure to maintain our thought life will eventually lead to our demise. Failure to maintain our thought life will eventually lead to our demise. Boy, it's important how you think. You know, somebody told me recently, well, I don't study end time things, but I just let it all pan out. Boy, are you deceived. God's word was not written in a form that it's going to work itself out. God's purpose for writing this book is more detailed to accuracy than you realize, and it even gives you an expected end, not a pan out. God's word does not teach us the dump off to life. He teaches us why we're on the conveyor belt of life for a purpose, not for a dump off. Now follow me closely. Our armor is not made of metal. Our armor is not made up of metal, in spite of what we've been taught about it. Our armor is rather made up of knowledge. 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 How we think. You guys with me today? See, you decide to come on Labor Day weekend. Now, there are some believers that need even a Labor Day weekend from the Lord. But you don't, so I got to feed you real good this morning. Amen. Feed you real good. Because you're not slacking back. You're not taking a day off. You ready? And this has nothing against who those are not here. That all you have to work out that in your own thought life. Our armor is what we know about truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace. Well, that's a new one. Faith. Oh, but some Christians don't believe in the faith message. Salvation. And it's all based upon the Word of God. Are we examining every thought that comes into our mind? A lot of believers don't. They wake up in the morning, They put on their dodo head and listen to it all day long. Then they go to church and they hear a message, and because their dodo mind doesn't agree with it, then they sit there and something wrong with that. Because dodo head has first place more than anything else. Now notice what he says. This guy, he's cleaned up. I mean, he's in a good place to get somewhere. He's in a good place to be a strong man, to take his armor and literally, this armor will literally keep his place in peace. So here comes the Spirit back again. Now how in the world, and I wondered that for years when I was reading that, how in the world could the devil get back in to this guy's life when he was all swept and cleaned up? What did he do to allow himself to have that same entrance that he was once cleaned of? Real simple. He was thoroughly equipped to ward that spirit off. But are you ready for this? He didn't do anything with what he was given to ward the spirit off. So when he came back and he found that this guy had not done anything with his armor, he said, hey, I'm going to keep this guy from using that stuff. I'm going to enter back in and shut his weaponry down because he don't know how to use it. Now, wouldn't it be interesting that you guys that understand military and you're going to be in the infantry, and so you're indoctrinated into the armed forces, and you're in there and they handle you clothing, and they hand you a backpack, and they hand you boots, they hand you coats, they hand you everything that you need for wear and care while you're working for them. And along with it, they give you a weapon. Woo! Isn't that interesting? And along with the weapon, they give you what the weapon needs to use. And you look at it, and some people are this way. When they look at a weapon, they think the barrel is what they hold and the butt of the gun is what they point. Some people are stupid. They don't know how to use weaponry. And so you know what they do? They say, see the barracks over there? Yeah, you can go over there and that's where you live. Okay. So you get over in the barracks. You're fully equipped and everything. You lay all your goods down. Now, you guys, when you wake up tomorrow morning, you can call yourself a soldier. So you wake up the next morning, no taps, no nothing to wake you up. You just get up when you want to and you walk around. And I wonder what this weapon's all about. And so you go to somebody and say, how come you gave me this weapon here? What? How do you use this thing? Oh, we just give it to you. We don't show you how to use it. It's just yours. That's a regulation. Well, aren't you going to show me how to use it? Why? Well, with war, isn't there planning? Isn't there some kind of strategy? Oh, you got a thought there. John Calloway knows more than anything else about planned strategy of warfare. That was your job. On computer. Smart. So what would you guys think of an army like that for your defense? Guess what? When your enemy comes in, like a flood, he'll wipe you out. Why? Because you don't know how to handle your weaponry. And to think that God would call you into His kingdom and not give you any weaponry to protect yourself. You know what a soldier is called? Frontline duty. You know what a civilian is? Kick back and hope they protect you. So the minute you become a believer, you're on the front line. And the first thing God's going to do is show you how to use your weaponry to get the results that you want to get. So, with that thought in mind, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to reestablish how your armor is your thought life. That is what protects you. How you think is how you will begin to use your weaponry, your armor. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the church is faced with something that they didn't want to be faced with, and that was to accept someone back into the body that had made error. And right away, Paul instructed them, thank you for being obedient in the first place to boot the person out. But he says, now he wants back in, so he repented. Now you better let him back in. And notice what he said. Paul gave them instruction, and this is what he told them. He says, you better forgive this guy and let him back in, because we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Now what he does, he says, church, now you better conduct this thing properly. Because if you don't, then you're now going to be a target for your enemy. And here he goes. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And that is the Greek word noema, which means thought life. How he thinks, how he processes things. That's how Satan works. And if he comes back and finds your dwelling, that of Christ, the first thing he's going to want to know is, what does this guy know about his weaponry? Oh my gosh, the guy's a dodo. He's ignorant. I can come right in there and take away his armor and spoil his goods and remove that sucker from where he thought he was and make that state of that man worse than when it was from the beginning. Boy, sounds like the word Satan, S-A-T-A-N. That is how you spell it, right? That word is an important word to know about. It's called your enemy. It's called your enemy. Now, I'm going to show you how accurate the Bible is. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I love the Word of God. I love it when I meditate on it. I hate the Word of God when I have to read it because I know it's the right thing to do. I love reading the Word of God when I'm after something. Most people say, I'm reading my Word. Yeah, it's mostly out of boredom. It's mostly out of boredom. And it's mostly out of this thought. I have to do it in order to please the Lord. You know, when you're given an instruction manual, it's there for your instruction. Now notice what he says here in Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave himself, or he himself gave, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, if you really want to stop and think about something here, the number that we find here for the fivefold ministry is five. Five. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. To do what? Well, for maturing the saints so that they can work the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ or the building up. Well, we got seven things here happening from the equipping of the body. Seven of them. Five offices with the result of two things. Bringing somebody to maturity, and number two is to what? To build up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. So these five offices are to do something. Bring the body of Christ to maturity so they can do the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Are you following me? That's seven. Well, how come there's not eight there? Because there was eight spirits. Well, you got to remember this one thing. That the devil who had a hold of this guy at the first place, his house belonged to that guy. But when he entered back into the man's house, he stopped seven operations in this guy's life. You know what? You know why some Christians fail? They never accept the office of a pastor, but they will an evangelist. Why? Because an evangelist doesn't have the same work that a pastor has. What is the work that the pastor has? He has to remove your diapers, clean your mess, and spank you. Now, a Christian that don't like that would prefer an evangelist, because all they would do is entertain you and show you the power of God and the work of God so you can rejoice forever, but you don't want your diapers changed and you don't want to be corrected. Well, what about an apostle? Oh, all they ever do is they're just like a pastor. They want to correct you and chasten you. And they want to do all these things that just don't make ministry fun anymore. There are many believers without correction. There are spoiled, rotten brats that don't have anybody over them but themselves. So, he says there's seven things that literally equip and bring a result to the body of Christ. Seven things. And notice what we establish. We establish the thought life. How you think. 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 Think. It comes in the realm of between two ears. On the top part of your brain called cranium. How you think. How you think. How you think. I was kicked out of that thing. I was kicked out of that place. That guy's a jerk. He don't even have any weapon. He doesn't even understand the weaponry he's got in his house. Can't use it. I'm going to take around out in there and shut this whole operation down. So he gets in the guy's. What happened? He gets right back in and he says, "Now, I'm going to do something about this guy's ability to think correctly. I'm going to shut down seven operations in his life, so that my war machine can take advantage of this guy." All right. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Oh my gosh, we might as well nail the next nail on the coffin here. Ephesians 6. And let's go to verse 10. It's very interesting how some people look at Ephesians chapter 6. This book is very progressive. It is progressive in its purpose. Talks about growth. Then it comes down to chapter 6 and it's going to end the book. And at verse 10 here, in the Greek, it's very interesting. The writer then switches to the general assembly, to specific people. You know who he's talking to? Those who are ready for warfare. Those who know how to use the armor of God. You know, not all Christians are ready for a warfare from Satan. Why? Because he's already got you, and he can eat any lunch you provide for him. Why? If your thinking is messed up. You can attack him all day long, and he'll just go ahead and defeat you after one attack after another. Why? But pastor, I've done all to stand. You got to understand this in the Greek. You think you're doing all to stand, but I got news for you. If you attack him and you need your sword to cut him with, and you've got a banana in your hand, you're not going to do much damage. He's supposed to swing a sword. What's he got in his hand there? Fruit? A banana? Try stabbing somebody to death with a banana. It'll end up wrapped around your hand. Now notice what he says here. Finally, my brethren. Actually, in Greek it says for the rest of you. He switches for the general assembly who does not have their family in order, doesn't know how to receive from the ministry gifts that have been given to the body. It's all progressive. That doesn't have the eyes of their heart enlightening to know what is right from what is wrong. You know what I mean? He it's a progressive. He comes down and says, you don't even have your children corrected. They're in rebellion to you, all this and that. And then he says, but for the rest of you, you people that know how to do warfare, because you've done it previously in the past and you've gotten results. Here it is. Finally, my brethren, or for the rest of you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And the word power of His might, literally in the Greek it means, and in the power of His ruling ability. So this is a guy that knows how to do warfare with Satan and rule over him through the armor that he knows how to use. Let's get ready. Here we go. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This word, wiles of the devil, is a very interesting word. It is referring to schisms. Schisms. A renting or a tearing. So, we know something else too about the name that he uses for the name devil here. It is really diabolos. So he's saying, I want you to be strong in the ruling power of His might, which is God's kingdom. He says, by putting on the whole armor again, you're going to be able to stand against the wiles of this devil. And the word wiles there is schisms of diabolos. Now, the word diabolos means to literally dia, that is through, or to pass through something. And the word bolos means to throw or cast. To throw or cast through something. And what he's talking about here for the word wiles, it means methodical, militaristic plots and ploys and schemes to rent or tear a person apart with. And so he's saying that you, brethren, that know how to put on the armor of God, you've got to stand in a place for somebody else. Because he ends up saying, this is what you're going to do in praying for other people. You want to accuse somebody? How many hours of prayer you got behind them first? How much of the Word of God have you used? How much have you stood before the enemy on the behalf of the church or an individual or whatever? You got to think about that. And I'm seeing this very, very clear here. That the enemy will create or penetrate a person by being able to throw something through because his thinking does not have a weapon to protect him. And so he's giving instructions from verse 7 on. He's giving instructions to true warriors in Christ that have proven themselves worthy to stand on behalf of somebody else. Now watch this. For we do not struggle, hand-to-hand combat of soldiering against flesh and blood. That is not where our real warfare is. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. In the Greek, it's put this way. Having brought everything to an ultimate conclusion of victory, and remain standing in it. That's what it means. So this guy's going into warfare with the devil because he knows how to put on the whole armor of God. And he knows that when he takes his position of the stand, he's going to have the victory. Why? Because this devil ain't going to bring seven more devils with him to take this guy out again. Why? This guy had been educated. This guy is the strong man over the kingdom of darkness. And when devil comes at him, I do not feel sorry for the devil. And notice what he says. He first of all says one thing. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Do you know that this is a quote from 1 Peter 1:13, which literally says, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. So when he's talking about the armor here, he's talking about the armor that covers your brain. Now, notice what he says. The number one operation, gird up the loins of your mind. What's the number two one? Breastplate of righteousness. That's two. And notice this. Having shod your feet with the preparation, not perspiration, of the gospel of peace. That's three. Four. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Isn't that interesting? He's got arrows flying at you. Why? He don't like close hand-to-hand combat with a true warrior of victory. Now notice this. Number five. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, which is five. And notice number six. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And guess what number nine is? Or number seven. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Got seven operations here. Well, there was eight spirits. The eight spirit don't count. You want to know why? He couldn't get back into this guy. So he's removed from the number. So, there's only seven operations here for protection. Not eight, seven. But you will have trouble with eight spirits if you don't know how to use the seven given you. That's what you found over in Ephesians 4. There were seven operations that covered you. And yet, Christians do not understand the importance of the Word of God. Your thought life, you have to bring every thought into captivity, because every thought that is not captivated by the Word of God, how can you be obedient until, first of all, you know what the Word of God says about it? Because if you don't know what the Word of God says about it, you're going to be just like this guy. You can have all the weaponry in the world, but if you don't know how to use your weaponry, then how are you going to protect yourself? And it comes down to your thought life. And I'm going to tell you something, people. We're journeying down a road together. And I want to tell my congregation this, and I'm speaking to a few, too, that I've had personal encounters with. You don't tell me what I think about you. You never tell me what you think about you. That is my business, not yours. And so when I have people tell me what I think about them, and that's not true, that angers me. Because I am working before the Father to think right about every one of you. Regardless of you. Boy, some of you really try me. But don't go and think thoughts that have not come out of my mouth directly to you. Because all it is vain imaginations that Satan uses to travel on your thinking to get you to become a prisoner. I discipline my thinking about people. It's tough at times, but I do it. Because I want the right spirit with everyone. Now, let's take a look at this war machine that Satan has. It's called principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits of this world. Now, we call this literally Satan's war machine. But what is God's weaponry? Well, there's mention apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Miracles, healing, and helps in governments. Seven operations. Notice this. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, five. They were given so that God would indoctrinate the inner man of His people. This is the means of how to put everything in proper perspective. through the ministry gifts. Everything has to come through the ministry gifts to put everything in proper order. Satan's counterpart is a principality. A principality is more in the area of a fallen angel, not a demon spirit, but a fallen alien. Not a disembodied spirit, but actually a fallen angel itself is a principality. And you know what a principality's main job is to do? His job is not one person. His job is regions. And the reason that his job is a region, it's to indoctrinate the man into all the world. New Age, Muslim, Mohammed, Buddha also operates through the media, through geniuses, governments, presidents to legislate our morals, through talented people, music, talk shows, etc., to create independent thinking. That's what principalities are given to. Powers. Well, before we look at powers, let's look at the powers that God holds. First of all, miracles and healing. This comes in the area of the evangelist more. This is the supernatural benefits for the body and the people and the unsaved. This is the power of sustaining us for direction and completion of our call. It's a testimony to reach souls. Miracles and healings. Satan's counterpart to these in his war machine are occults, counterfeit healings, lying signs and wonders, supernatural manifestations of demons, curses, pharmaceutical drugs, astrology, spiritual advisors, and familiar spirits. This is where we find our Bible saying that they had the power to turn sticks into snakes. Well, God had the same power, except his snake ate up the other two. Another operation is helps and governments. The word helps here literally deals in financing. God calls some people to finance his kingdom. Governments is organizational skills. And this is to help prepare the believer, the power of relationships, proper understanding of authority. Marriage and people are counseled. Commitment and faithfulness is developed. And financing to help carry out the work. That's where helps and governments come in. Now, Satan's counterparts are rulers, which means organizations developed to drain you of time, money, and divert your attention on spiritual growth. To create hardships, unusual weather patterns, and catastrophes. Governments of darkness create world wars. Denominations and religious organizations, these all come under the guise of rulers. A part of Satan's war machine. And it all boils down to another very important thing, people, that we have been given a heavenly language called speaking in tongues. Very important language for us to understand. The reason tongues were given is, number one, and I'm convinced of this in my own life, is to remove complacency and indifference. When you start praying a lot in tongues, you start getting a fire burning in you. To build your most holy faith, to increase a larger understanding of God supernaturally, to build up the body, to draw revelation apart from our intellect, apart from our understanding. Now I'm going to tell you, the wicked spirits in the heavenly places, this is the atmosphere around where mankind lives, where we live. This is where unclean spirits to possess people are. Break you down through depression. Operate through insanity. Operates in people to come against you. Where he gathers insight on you personally and reports your progress. This is where also mental and physical sickness is carried out. And none of us are exempt from it. Harvey, none of us. We're all accountable to it. Every one of us. You guys connecting with this word this morning? Well, the prophecy gave me leeway to do it with you. This is Satan's war machine. Principalities and powers and rulers and wicked spirits in the heavenlies. We're all responsible to have the weaponry of God to come into our knowledge and understanding and how to use it. Very important. Because if we don't, he will eat our lunch. He will make an example of us. His main MO is to accuse the brethren and scatter. I mean, we're getting so much of the Word of God in our understanding now. You know, people don't even have to talk to us. And we can see by their actions where they are. Because I'm going to tell you something. A good soldier never loses a battle. Did you guys get something here this morning? What time is it? 5 till. That's a good place to stop. Yes, people don't know how to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. They don't understand that the knowledge of God is what controls our thought life. The Word of God, I'm going to tell you something. It's the Word of God speaks to you negatively, it means your thought life is out of control. If the Word of God speaks to you positively, it means you're willing to take correction and move with the Word of God. A lot of Christians don't know. They want to come to church and they want to hear a message that always makes them feel good. That would be so if you were perfect. But when you come to the house of God and you find the message cuts you to pieces, you know what? You need to be praising God. You want to know what? He's showing you how much He loves you. If you're not his child and you don't take correction by the Word of God, you know what you're called? A bastard. What? Nobody knows whose parent you really are. Who do you belong to? Well, you have no idea. I'm submitted to God only. Oh, you're a nomad. What do you mean I'm a nomad? Well, if you submit to God, I'll tell you what, you're a nomad. Because I know who else is submitted to God. Who else is submitted to God? Muslim. He's submitted to God. Jew. I beg to differ with you. A Jew is submitted to God. Where are you coming from, Pastor? There be many gods floating around out there. It just, whose mind are you attached to? What God? Did you guys get something here? Either say, oh me, or praise the Lord. That means you all took the correction this morning. Satan's war machine ain't got nothing on you now. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word and I thank you for your wonderful people in this body. Father, every one of them is a jewel in the kingdom of God and very important to the kingdom of God. And Father, I thank you for the word of God, which not only loves us and edifies us and builds us up, but Father, he also corrects us and puts us in the right form of thinking so our enemy cannot get advantage of us. So Father, as your wonderful people disappear today into this world, may they be made known for their faith and the position and their stand in the kingdom of God as never before. For your imminent return is very soon. And I thank you for your word to enlighten us as to where we fit in the scheme of everything. Bless your people today. Bless them when they lay their head down tonight. And bless them on their Labor Day Monday, and Father, may they just be edified and protected from the enemy of darkness in Jesus' name. And before I dismiss you, if anyone wants to receive Jesus, feel free to come up here and we will lead you right into the kingdom of heaven. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you've never had that, we want to lay hands on you and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Hallelujah. So with that thought in mind, you're dismissed. Adios. Have a good week.